We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Friday. It's February 19th. It's 2021, and we have 9 NBA games to talk about here on today's slate. We are presented by Monkey Knife Fight. If you guys haven't checked them out, the link will be in the description. You get 100% deposit bonus up to your $50 on your first deposit. RotoGrinders.com/partner/MKF. Awesome single player DFS site. Make sure you guys are checking them out. Joined today by my buddy, Genifer07. Grant, how are you doing, my friend?
Old, tired, and had one of those days where I pretty much exactly didn't break even, so it was a worthless day of work. Luckily, it was only a 3-game slate, so it only took half as or a third as long as it normally does research.
I'm making $42. I'm
losing
call,
13.
I'm going to call that a win. calling it a win, going to the bank. So yeah, we got a 9-game slate, pretty interesting slate here. So let's jump right in here. We start with Orlando and Golden State. For Golden State, Chris is out, Draymond's questionable, Looney's out, Wiseman's out, and then on the Magic side, Cole Anthony's out, Ennis is questionable, Fultz is out, Aaron Gordon is out, Isaac is out. I'm going to this game, Grant. I haven't been to a live sporting event in forever, but going to this game, what are your thoughts here on Golden State?
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I went to one.
It's crazy. Like,
I think it was the Chiefs Broncos game in 2019, and that was where Matt Moore played. So it hasn't been a good experience for wildlife sporting events. But yeah, this game is a little bit interesting here with Draymond being questionable. He's a guy that I'd definitely be interested in if he ends up playing. Orlando is definitely not a terrible matchup, especially with all the injuries. Curry, if Draymond is in play or is not in play, is very much in play. I think Toscano-Anderson at 4.4K makes an interesting play. It's just going to be interesting what they end up doing. Are they going to throw Pascal over on Vooch? without Draymond and Wiseman, if they both end up sitting, like, are they just going to stick Wiggins or Oubre and just let him run wild here? So it's kind of hard to know without Draymond, but hopefully we don't get an after-lock scratch of him again. But assuming that he's playing, I really like him, really like Curry. Assuming he's out, then I think Toscano Anderson comes into play.
Yeah, Curry, I think, is in play regardless if Draymond plays or not. I do think this is a spot we're definitely looking at Curry. Outside of that, like you said, the Draymond news is the big news that we're going to be waiting on here. If he doesn't play, it's a bump for a couple guys here. And you mentioned Anderson. I think it's a bump for Pascal at 3,800 as well. So a lot of options if Draymond sits. But if Draymond plays, I think Draymond and Curry very much in play here. What are we looking at here on the Magic side of things?
I mean, I think you have to look at Vooch. It looks like that Fournier is going to play. With all the guys that they still have out, like, it's just they're going to need some scoring. It's a fast-paced game. It's not a bad defensive matchup here. So Vooch going up against Draymond, or if Draymond's out, then Vooch should absolutely destroy in this game. He settled down a little bit during the stretch, but he played, I think, 4 games in 6 days. So he's probably a little bit exhausted considering he had to do kind of everything. Should be a little bit more rested for this one, and he should absolutely smash Toscano Anderson if he's guarding him, or Pascal, or whoever's guarding him. But if Draymond's in there, I don't think he's quite a lock and load, but he's still a great play, and it should be a high-scoring game. Outside of that, I think Fournier is my favorite play. Ross has been crushing, but with MCW in there running the point, I think there's a better spot for Fournier. He's a little bit more of a scoring threat with MCW in there than he was with Cole Anthony. So he's underpriced, I think, at 5,800. Didn't play great in the last game, didn't play terrible, but he's definitely got 40-plus point upside in this spot here. A fast-paced matchup. He's my favorite play outside of Vooch. And then you can always take a shot on Ross with all the injuries that are still out there and the playing time that he's been getting. I'm not playing MCW at 5.1K, by the way.
No, and Michael Carter-Williams was really good when he was cheap. He had a bad shooting night the other night against the Knicks. But yeah, I think Vooch is the play. If you're we have value in a lot of games we're going to talk about. This is one of those games that I think that we're mostly paying up. Vooch, Curry, take the studs. Obviously, I'm going to have game stacks of this game going to the game. So I think this one is interesting, but you have to kind of remember this game, what it's sitting at 224.5. We're going to get into some games that are in the 230s, high 229. So moving on, we got Denver at Cleveland. I didn't see a line out for this game. Denver -8, but no total. Barton's questionable. Dozier's out. Harris is out. Millsap is out. And then on the Cleveland side, Dova's out. Drummond's out. Love is out. Nance is out. Prince is out. Let's start here with Denver. What are we looking at here for the Nuggets?
Jermichael Green's probably priced up to about where he should be, so he's kind of crossed off my list. I'm worried about this game being a blowout, so Joker's in play. He's always in play. He can always crush on any given night. This game stays close to be in the high 30s minutes. I'll probably be over 60 points. So even at 11K, don't hate it. Just a lot of mispricings on the slate. So probably a guy that I'm just going to end up avoiding because of that. Jamal Murray, 8K, price where he should be. Yes, he can crush on any given night. He's been on a little bit of a heater recently. But again, don't expect this game to stay horribly close. Michael Porter Jr. is the guy that I'd probably end up playing. If Barton's out, but even that, just doesn't stand out as a great play at 6.1K. He's got tournament upside, so he's always in play for tournaments, but I'm likely going to avoid pretty much everyone on the Denver side just because I don't expect this game to stay horribly close, and even if it does, everyone's kind of priced where they should be.
Yeah, I think that we're going to like a lot of guys in this 8K range more than we're going to like Murray. Murray's been crushing here recently, but he might not get a full fourth quarter in this game, and I think that is the big concern. If we get news that Barton sits, maybe Monte Morris, because I do think he would stay on the court, but even he's 4,900. It's not like he's 3,900 or cheaper than that. So I'll probably pass, and Campazzo is still really cheap. He would probably be like the shot in the dark MME type tournament play here if we get news that Barton doesn't play. The Cleveland side of things, like, what do we think, like, Jared Allen? Like, is he going to be, like, massive chalk even at 6,800?
I don't think so. I mean, I think most people are going to be a little bit worried about a blowout, too. And looking at his game log, like, 6,800, he's done better than his price tag. Like, he's 6X his price tag in three of the last four games. People might be, like, if people are following, paying attention, knowing that they've been in blowouts and that's why he's not getting a huge amount of run, then they might be smart enough to play him. But this is where, if I'm playing Joker, I'm bringing it back with Allen and probably bringing it back with Garland. Garland's too cheap if he's going to end up playing 40 minutes. Yes, he hasn't been doing great recently, but 6 of 20 from the field in the last game, so the shot attempts were there. This game's going to stay close. I expect him to have a decent game. Sexton probably priced up enough. Osman, they changed his price drastically, which they absolutely should have, because Osman should never be that cheap. If he gets in the starting lineup and kind of plays a little bit of a facilitator role, then he can crush this price tag. But still, like, 4,800, now that it's this high, I don't think he's just a throw-in if you're going to game stack this. But Jared Allen, I think it's fine even if the game blows out. He's just been crushing in games that blow out, but I'm predominantly going to use him if I'm bringing it back with, like, MPJ or Murray or Joker, but I don't really want to bring it back with those guys, so I don't know how much ownership I'll end up with him.
Yeah, I think Osman always someone that is in play. Prince already ruled out, so I think that, you know, he's definitely in play here at 4,800. You could price shop him too, see if he's cheap on any other sites. You know, some sites are slower than others. At Atlanta at Boston, 226 total here. Boston favored by 4.5. Bogdanovich, Dunn, Hunter, Rondo still out. Marcus Smart out. Jaylen Brown questionable. Let's start here with the Atlanta side of things. What do you like here for the Hawks?
I love Capella. Capella getting up into the mid-30s range in terms of minutes after he had, what, like a month of games kind of staying at 30 and below. If this game stays close, I think he crushes. I think they're finally giving him a little bit more run. I think this is a good matchup where he's not going to be a huge defensive liability because he's going to be on Tice if Tice ends up playing. I just think that he's too underpriced at 7.2K if he's going to be getting maybe 30 minutes. I know he's only been putting up about 45 points, but that's still beating his price tag by a decent amount, and he has upside for one of his 50, 60 point games. So he is a fantastic play on this slate. I think he's a much better player than Jared Allen. And then Trae Young, always in play in tournaments. Collins, always a decent guy to throw into a game stack, but Capella is a fantastic play here.
Yeah, I really like Capella as well. A lot of centers that, like, I like on the slate already. So going to be talking about even more as we get going here, but I like the Capella call a lot at 7,200. You know, John Collins, I always say this, if you end up in that range, I don't ever hate it, but I would much, much rather have, like, Capella. Trey, like, this could be a super competitive game. I definitely don't mind it. He put up 57 fantasy points when these two teams played on Wednesday, so wouldn't be shocked if he has another big game. Boston side of things, like, obviously Jaylen Brown news is huge. If he were to sit in this game, it's like a huge uptick for Kemba and Tatum. And Kemba is sitting at 6,500. He sat in the game Wednesday, just kind of like it was a management thing. They were on the second end of a back-to-back. So I love Kemba here at 6,500.
Yeah, no, I love him a lot more if Brown ends up mentioning, obviously, Atlanta's one of the worst teams against the one. I think 30 dead last in points given up to the one. So Kemba is a great play at 6,500 if Brown ends up missing. If Brown ends up playing, I still think that he's a decent play. It's going to be a high-paced game. It's a good defensive spot, so Kemba is in play regardless. Tatum, price tag is kind of up there enough where I more want to play him if Brown ends up missing. Like, if Brown ends up playing, then it's mostly going to be a game stack situation where I'm bringing it back with Capella. And then Tice, 4,500. I don't mind him in this spot. Like, it's against Atlanta. It's a good spot for him. He can do a little bit of work on the offensive end going up against Capella and Collins. They might need a size a little bit more going up against Capella and Collins. So it's kind of those guys. And then, you know, like I said, if Brown ends up missing, then you can go with anyone who gets the spot start. Like, guys are going to get an increase in minutes. Semi Pritchard, like all could get a little bit of an increase in minutes.
We move on. We got Chicago at Philly. No total on this game. Philly is favored by 9. Dotson's out. Hutchinson's out. Markkanen is out. Porter Jr. is out. And then on the Philly side of things, Ben Simmons is probable. Shake Milton is doubtful. Let's start here with Chicago. Anything standing out to you for the Bulls?
LaVine. I mean, it's just LaVine. I know Thad Young's been doing well, but he's been fairly efficient while he's been in the game. And I don't fully expect that to continue, but I've been saying that for a while. So if you want to play Thad Young in game stack, that's fine. But I'm not playing Cody White. 6,100, yes, he's had a few decent outings lately, but predominantly he's going to end up in the 20-point range. It's not an easy matchup going up against Philly. Obviously, good defense. So LaVine, just because of the huge amount of usage he's taken up in every single game, he's always in play for tournaments, but I don't know if he stands out as the best play.
Yeah, like if this game is going to stay close, that is like where you're playing LaVine. Maybe like if you're playing Embiid in this spot, you're looking at LaVine, but like I don't think he's someone that like you're going to like seek out a ton in the spots. Like I don't think this game stays close, Grant. And maybe I'm just like overthinking the spot in general, just because I don't think this game's going to stay close. I think it's going to be a very lopsided game. So I think if I'm taking a shot on anybody from the Bulls, it's just like Wendell Carter Jr. hoping that like he plays a couple extra minutes at 5,200, played 27 minutes the other night, like 6-minute increase from one game to the next already. So I could see him, you know, maybe gaining a couple extra minutes. And at 5,200, he's just a guy that, like, if he has a good game, he can go for 40 plus.
Yeah.
Like, on the Philly side of things, what do you think here for the 76ers?
I mean, Embiid or Simmons, are you taking your shots on? They're both fine plays if you expect this game to stay close. I think the tournament guy here is Seth Curry. Shake Milton being out, he should end up still staying around the high 30s. In terms of minutes, I know he's been a little bit off and on when it comes to production, but he's going to shoot. And if he gets hot, he's going to shoot a lot. So he's in play for tournaments at 4,800 price tag. I think that he has a chance to crush that. I know the reason why he did so well against Houston was because Embiid was out, but he'll still be in the game for the majority of it. And he's a guy that when he gets hot from beyond the arc, then he's just going to keep shooting. So Curry's a decent tournament play, but Embiid, like, he's the guy that's probably going to crush. Simmons, always a triple-double threat, but I'm worried about this game staying close. I'm predominantly going to stay away from Philly.
Yeah, I'm worried about this game staying close too. Like I said, if you're playing like LaVine or, you know, doing that, maybe you're getting a little game stack action, hoping this game stays close and you get a really high scoring game. But outside of that, like, it's just not a game that like I have a ton of interest in general. Detroit at Memphis, 222 total here. Memphis favored by 5 in this one. We know that Blake is out, Hayes is out, Okafor is out. Dubaya, he is questionable. And then on the Memphis side of things, like, Jared Jackson is still out. Winslow is still out. Melton and Brooks are both questionable. Let's start here with the Detroit side of things. What are we looking at here for the Pistons?
I'm fine with taking a shot on any of the main guys, Plumlee, Grant, Wright, Sadiq Bey. Like, all of them are fine, but they're all kind of priced where they should be. Like, Bay's got big increase in playing time. He's been a little bit off and on when it comes to shooting. But, like, you look at his game log, and the reasons why he's beat this price tag a bunch is because, first of all, it was too low for his playing time when they've upped it. And second of all, he's been just outside the game versus Chicago, where he just did all right. He's been shooting lights out. So I don't expect that to continue. So he's priced where he should be, but always gives a little bit of upside considering he can get some boards and he can get hot from behind the arc. Right, Bay in there with Grant in there with everyone in there. Like, his usage is going to stick around the same spot. His playing minutes should be secure and should play high 30s. But that's just a guy that I'm throwing in for a game stack. Grant, peripheral stats are like entirely gone. He's entirely shooting dependent. 7.5K, he can beat that price tag, but like if he's not getting any peripheral stats, he's just kind of not really worth it anymore. So there used to be value earlier on the season. Now he's just turned into just straight up a scorer. It's a good match versus Memphis. Only way I'm throwing him in is if I'm bringing it back some guys on the other side, which I will do a few times because there are a few decent plays over in Memphis.
Yeah, Plumlee is a guy that, like, he's had some really monster games, and, like, he's doing it all. Like, he's getting assists, he's getting rebounds, he's scoring points. So, you know, he's obviously super interesting here. Wright can have good games. Like, you know, this is certainly one that, like, I like Plumlee probably the most here. Center is pretty deep on this slate. You know, Bay is a guy that's definitely seen an increase with Blake Griffin out, so don't mind him. Let's go to the Memphis side of things here. What are we looking at here for Memphis?
I mean, I love Ja Morant. Like, 7.4K matchup versus Detroit. He's been crushing it recently. The shot attempts have been there over 10 straight games or 8 straight games. He's getting it done. Like, he's a triple-double threat any night, and he's more than likely going to get a double-double any given night. He's the main guy in that offense. The minutes are absolutely there, playing mid-30s in any game that stays close. 7.4K is far too low of a price tag. And then Valanciunas is pretty much always a tournament guy, and today's no different. Match versus Detroit, definitely not a bad one. He's going to end up in high 20s minutes in all likelihood, but if he goes low 30s and he's having a good game, he can crush this price tag. Outside of that, I don't mind shots on Kyle Anderson, but he's probably priced about where he should be. If Dylan Brooks ends up playing, I think you can take a shot on him. But Ja Morant is just one of my favorite plays on the entire slate.
Listen, I've been talking about Morant for weeks, and, you know, it's finally happening. His usage has been up. And it's finally happening. He's finally doing everything that, like, we've been hoping for. So definitely going to continue to play Ja Morant. Glad that I wrote it out. Will talked me back onto the train the other day, and I'm glad that he did. He's been fantastic. Moving on, we got OKC at Milwaukee. 232.5 total here. Milwaukee favored by 10.5. It is a back-to-back for the Bucks as far as, like, the Thunder go. Hill is still out. Ariza is still not with the team. But outside of that, they're pretty much good to go. Let's start here with the OKC side of things. What do you like here for the Thunder?
Horford. That's it. Like, most of the guys with SGA back, I mean, SGA is always a chance at a game, but his price 8.2K is not really going to cut it for me. On this slate, yes, he could end up 50 points, but I feel like there are better plays on the slate, and I'm worried too much about a blowout here. So if you really want to game stack it up, you can use SGA, but that'd probably be the only scenario I do. Horford's really the guy that I think, even if this game doesn't stay close, he still gets there. But if this game stays close, he has a chance to crush even with SGA back. And I know his usage is going to take a little bit of a downtick, but still 6.7K for what he's been doing is definitely a spot where he has some upside. Outside of that, Diallo, Baisley, Dort, Kenrich, Roby, Maldon, all these guys have been priced up because of SGA's absence, and now their price tag hasn't gone down nearly enough where I want to use them against a Milwaukee team where there could potentially be a massive blowout.
I'm fading this game. I'm just fading this game. If this game stays close and people crush in this game, then I'll probably not do well, but when I look at this game, I just don't see this game staying close. I don't care that Milwaukee's on a back-to-back. They're the superior team here. Sure, you could play Horford. I don't hate it. There's just like 15 other centers that I like more on the slate, but he'd probably be the only guy that, like, even like SGA, yeah, he's a monster usage guy, but, like, I need to see him have a couple good games after coming off injury. On the Milwaukee side, maybe DiVincenzo, but overall, like, this game just stinks for me. I'm out.
Yeah. I mean, I can't – Giannis in a game where it might be a blowout, not playing him even in a decent spot. Middleton has just destroyed me the last four games. So, maybe this is the game where he crushes when I'm finally off of him, but I don't expect this game to stay close, so I'm not playing him.
You've been riding it like it stinks.
Oh, gosh, it's been just – I would have had a great week the last week, but Middleton is 100% responsible for my bad.
Don't you love when it's like one guy too?
Yeah, you can put it all, like, I think two of the nights I locked him in, and then I'm like, okay, every lineup's dead.
Yeah, that's the worst, man. Moving on, we got Phoenix at New Orleans, 229 total. It jumped all the way up to 230.5 already. Phoenix favored by 2 in this one. No real injury news here. Steven Adams is doubtful, and that's really the only thing that we're looking at. So let's start with the Phoenix side of things. What do you like here for Phoenix?
Booker, Paul. We know Ayton really hasn't done too much. Crowder had a decent game in the last two, but not really a guy that I want to pay for. And I'd mostly just throw him in if I'm stacking up this game. Bridges is priced accordingly. This is just Booker and Chris Paul. Maybe you can take a shot on Ayton if you really want to. Always a guy that has a bit of a ceiling. The minutes have been there, so always a chance that he has a monster game. But the shot attempts really haven't been there. The boards have been kind of hit or miss. So you always have upside with him, especially if Steven Adams is going to be out. But it's just Booker and Chris Paul for me.
Yeah, I think Booker and Chris Paul would be the main targets here. Like you said, Adams out, Ayton bump, but just hasn't really shown us massive ceiling here recently. So I think you're playing the two main pieces here for Phoenix. And then on the New Orleans side of things, Steven Adams doubtful. I think Zion, man, he's playing great right now. His price has increased a little bit. I think Zion's your play from the Pelicans in this one.
Yeah, no, completely agree with you. I think Zion's probably the best play here. Over 50 points in each of the last two games. 8,400 is not a bad price tag considering what he's been doing. Matchup versus Ayton, they'll probably throw him at the 5. I wouldn't be surprised if they throw Josh Hart into the starting lineup, and I think he's affordable at 4,400. Not a lock and load play, but definitely a guy that you throw in for a game stack or even as a one-off if you need a little bit of price savings. Probably staying away from Ingram, but don't have a problem with it. Not a great matchup for him. Lonzo's always a threat at a triple-double or somewhere close to that and can put up a 40-point outing, so he's a guy that I would consider throwing in a game stack. But Zion's absolutely the play here, and Hart's a decent cheapie.
Yeah, and I think Hernan Gomez is one of the better value plays on the slate. Should draw the start with Steven Adams out, and played really well against Portland the other night when Steven Adams left the game. So, he didn't really see a price increase. They kind of miss that one, Grant. We give the sites crap all the time. They've been doing good about catching this stuff, but I think they missed that one. Toronto at Minnesota. No total in this game. Toronto is favored by 3.5. We know that Toronto is on a back-to-back. And then as far as Minnesota goes, Culver and Russell are out. Let's start here with Toronto. Kyle Lowry missing the game on Thursday, dealing with a thumb and ankle injury. So we'll have to see. They already said he's out, right? Wasn't there a report that said that he's not going to play Thursday or Friday? I'm pretty sure.
Also missed Friday's game.
He's out already. What are we looking at here for Toronto?
With Lowry out, maybe a potential boost to Boucher's minutes again. Not a terrible play. I know he didn't get a ton of run the fourth quarter. Most of the guys didn't because it was a bit of a blowout. But obviously it bumped to Van Vliet, Siakam. Both of them are underpriced at 7.8K and 7.7K. Powell should get a boatload of minutes and is another great play against a bad Minnesota team. He's going to be playing 30-plus minutes in the spot. And OG, I'm wondering if they're going to rest him. Maybe they just put him on a minutes limit because it was the first end of a back-to-back. Maybe he's just going to sit out this game. Maybe he'll be on another minutes restriction, but not a guy that I'm probably going to end up using. So Siakam, Van Vliet, Boucher, Powell, all fantastic plays.
Yeah, Toronto went small on Thursday. They started Bembry, and he played a ton of minutes. So it'd be interesting to see, he's 3,100 if he drew the start again. Siakam's the play. He's the guy that you're looking at in this spot. He gets a huge uptick with Lowry off the floor. Siakam's the play. Norman Powell's fine. OG, maybe, like you said, maybe he sits, and Bembry gets even more minutes. So, what do you like here for Minnesota?
Not a ton. Cat always in play for tournaments. He's finally gotten up to the high 30s range. So if this game stays close, he could end up crushing here. I don't know if he's one of my favorite plays on the slate, but it's not a terrible matchup for him. So he's a guy that I'll definitely look into. Edwards, I think, is in play for tournaments and potentially in play for game stack. I know he had that horrible game versus Indy, but he shot 3 for 15 from the field, and he still played high 30s minutes. Like, prior to that, he's actually been putting up some decent outings. Price tag's a little higher than I want it to be, but, I mean, he just had a 50-point game not too long ago. The shot attempts have been there in the last four, putting up 15 in every single game and over 20 twice. So he's a guy that I think you can throw in a game stack, but outside of that, it's predominantly Towns. Don't know if I'm going with Rubio or Beasley. They're kind of priced where they should be. And Naz Reid is not a guy that I want to chase his 40-point outing in 18 minutes. That's just that those are Whiteside numbers there.
Yeah, like, Edwards just had a terrible shooting night. And, like, you jump right back on it. Like, he's already shown that he has 50-plus point upside, so definitely like him in this spot. Again, like, center is so deep. I don't know if I end up on Carl Anthony Towns in this one. I think Edwards would be like the main target for me from Minnesota. Beasley's been playing good too. I don't mind playing Malik here. We finish it out with Utah at LA taking on the Clippers. 206 total here. Utah favored by 2.5. Obviously, Nicholas Batum, Paul George, Luke Kennard, and Kawhi all questionable. Mike Conley questionable. I was a little surprised this total in line was already out, but, you know, Vegas definitely expecting this to be like a slow paced type of game. What do you like here for Utah?
I mean, if Conley is ruled out, then I think Mitchell, Clarkson, Ingles are all in play, and even Bogdanovich if you want to. They've all been playing pretty well recently, or at least Ingles and Mitchell have. And Clarkson has too, like, bringing – it's just an increase in usage for Mitchell with Conley off the floor. And then when Clarkson's in there, he just eats up all the usage. So just the minutes and everything to go around what should be a close game. I think all of them kind of are a little bit underpriced considering their potential upside. Favorite play is probably Mitchell, fall by Ingles, fall by Clarkson. And I'm not going to argue with Gobert on spot. It's not a bad matchup for him. Always got some upside, but Mitchell's my favorite play. It's just, he's been a little bit off or on since Conley's been out, but predominantly he's shown a huge amount of upside.
Yeah, like, you know, obviously this game, if Kawhi and Paul George both sit, this game probably very lopsided Utah way, but like, if one of these guys play, this game stays close. I think Mitchell is definitely in play. If Conley sits, like you said, I think Clarkson would be somebody that you could play in tournaments. The Clippers, Grant, like, this is just a huge question mark. Like, there's four guys that are like real big pieces in this offense that play solid minutes that are all questionable.
Yeah, I mean, if Kawhi and George play, I'm probably not playing anyone. If one of them plays, I'm playing that person. Neither of them plays. Lou Will's in play. Reggie Jackson's in play. Pat Bev are in play. Morris is a decent play. Serge is not a terrible play. Like, it's just, it's entirely dependent on who plays. Like, it's not a great matchup for him. And there's a chance that it doesn't end up staying close if both the main two are out, but there's still a chance that it stays close and you don't really want to play for blowout. The fact that Vegas has line at 2.5, I would assume that one of these guys is going to play. So, yeah, it's watch the injuries. But if both of them are out, play a bunch of the guys. If both of them are in, don't play anyone. If one's out, play the other.
I don't have much to add to. I think that is just you're and this is the 10 o'clock standalone game, and like the only other game you have is like a 9 o'clock game. So we're really hoping we get this Clippers news early. Because if we don't, man, it could really change the slate. So it's always fun. Always fun. Let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here for the weekend. Favorite play, under 5K to 7X. Who do you got?
Man, it still doesn't matter to me how often we do this. I never am prepared, but I'm going to go with Seth Curry.
All right.
I already start said. Writing it down as things go along.
I already said, like, Hernan Gomez is one of my favorite value plays on the slate. I think he crushes here. Over 8K to go under 5X. Who's your bust today?
Giannis.
Yeah, you took the easy one. I was right there with you. I'm going to go Embiid. Just the same concept that, like, this game doesn't stay close. And just Embiid doesn't get there because he doesn't get enough minutes. Favorite 6X play?
Capela.
I like that one. I like it.
I love Capela today.
Yeah, like, I think this is a great spot for him. I'm with you on that. I'm going to go Siakam. Like, we really just got done talking about the game, really, it feels like. But love this spot. Kyle Lowry already ruled out. It's a matchup with Minnesota. Usage uptick, shot uptick. Like, this is a spot that I really like, Siakam. Let's get weird GPP play of the day. Who do you got?
I'm trying to figure that out. Morant's probably not going to be weird.
I've used him so many times recently for the Let's Get Weird GPP play of the day, and it's a 9-game slate. He could potentially be lower owned.
Yeah, I'm just going to go with him.
Like, we try to shoot for guys that are under 10%. Like, that's the cutoff we usually use.
I mean, I guess Fournier is not going to be high owned.
Hey, I'd like to see, like, him and Seth Curry getting, like, a three-point shooting contest while I'm watching. I've been sitting here and I've been thinking about this. I write down like all my stuff as we're going, and I just, there's nobody that's like super standing out to me today. It's like a get weird GPP play of the day. So I'm going to go Toscano Anderson. And like, I think he's in play whether or not Draymond, sits or not. I think he's just interesting. Like, it's an interesting spot. Game selection, anything stand out to you on FanDuel, DraftKings?
I mean, the $40 single entry mid-range, like, they have a 50 and a 15K, depending on how big of a contest you want to go in. Both of them are decent. The margins or the rake isn't too bad. Like, payouts are decent for it, so I guess those two.
So yeah, I talked about tiers yesterday. I talked about some single entry stuff, but today I'm going to go over to FanDuel. Obviously, if you haven't checked out the $100 single entry, series tournament, that's an awesome one. But if you're playing in that, you can definitely check out the $25, single entry tournament. It's a really good payout structure. It's the N1, pays 25% of the field. First place is only getting 8%. So somebody's going to turn $25 into $2,000, but this is a good bankroll building, tournament. I talk about these all the time. If you're trying to build a bankroll, if you're playing single entry stuff, I would definitely take a shot on the single entry tournament over there on FanDuel. Grant, you got a over under against the spread? Anything standing out to you here?
Probably need to pull up the line. You got one?
I think that if it stays up, and you have the book open in front of you, but if it stays up, like, I would jump on this Utah -2.5. Like, I think UConn can beat the Clippers if both of these guys play. But if both these guys sit, like, Utah -2.5 seems like a lock.
Yeah, that was probably the line I was going to go with. I'll go with the Warriors -4.
All right. I want the over in that game, too. Like, I want to see high scoring. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, I need to get to bed. I'm getting old.
that we are, buddy. That's gonna wrap it up here for Friday. If you guys are playing NASCAR, make sure you guys check out the NASCAR premium package here at RotoGrinders. 3 races starting today, Friday. We'll be back Monday talking some more hoops. Good luck in your contest, and we'll see you guys then.
Hey, kids.